Welcome to the Student Paramedic Podcast. Welcome back to the Student Paramedic Podcast. My name's Alex and today I'm joined by Brayden.
Hey guys, today we are interviewing a very special guest. We are interviewing Simone Austin. Now, Simone is an accredited advanced sports dietitian and an accredited practicing dietitian, and she was the former president of the Sports Dietitians Australia for the last 5 years.
She's worked with Swiss, Channel 10, AFL teams including Hawthorn, Western Bulldogs, rugby teams such as Melbourne Storm, Melbourne City Football Club, Cricket Australia, Fox, Australian Almonds and Rokeby Farms. She also has a book called Eat Like an Athlete, which is for anyone and everyone who's looking to maintain longevity and to fuel performance in all aspects of their lives.
We think she's the perfect guest for this podcast.
So with that being said, welcome to the Student Paramedic Podcast, Simone. We'll just get you to introduce yourself.
Yeah, sure. I've been a dietitian for 25 years, it's actually nearly right smack on half of my life now, about to turn 50 next year. So I've always worked in sports dietetics, but I've always had an interest in thinking about how sports nutrition can help other people. So working in private practice, I would always think about how you can use nutrition to perform at your best. So 25 years of private practice, corporate nutrition, so work with companies and brands, love that work, and also advocating for the profession in my fairly new role as manager of the advocacy and policy team. So I really try in all my jobs spread the word of how nutrition can help anyone perform at their best, because health is your wealth and nutrition is something you can control.
That's really cool, because I've just started reading your book, Eat Like an Athlete. And even though the title says athlete in it, it doesn't necessarily mean for athletes. It's for anyone that's looking to improve their nutrition and their life performance, really. And I love that holistic look of how you view nutrition. So nutrition for fuel rather than depriving. That's a really cool mindset shift to have. And I guess could you talk to a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why the book is called Eat Like an Athlete, because all the time when I'm working as an athlete, people talk to me, well, what do they eat? And, oh, they must make much more than what I do. And I say to people, well, you can still eat like an athlete for your performance. You might eat a smaller volume than them, but don't focus on what you can't eat. Focus on what you can eat, just like athletes do, so you can perform at your best. So if I said to you, don't walk through that door, Alex or Brayden over there, you'd probably say, I didn't even think about that door. I want to know what's behind that now. And you really have this interest. It's the same with food. If someone spends their time telling you not to eat things, then that's what you're going to want to eat. So concentrate on all the good things about what you can eat, and they'll then crowd out those things that are less nutritious, but you won't feel deprived. You'll be feeling like you're eating to fuel yourself and to feel at your best. So that's my total philosophy, just like an athlete would.
That's really great. So what is the connection between food and, you know, mood for studying really well, for mental clarity, all that type of stuff? How is that important and how does that play out?
So it really starts with what you were asking at first is food and mood has different aspects. One is food will affect your mood just based on what you eat and if it is making you feel deprived. So, and then there's how the food helps you physiologically. So I might start with the mental part. If you are in a dieting mode of not restricting yourself on what you can eat, then that's going to affect your mood. This is going to make you feel deprived. You're going to feel like you don't have enough energy if you're not fueling yourself enough. You're going to feel maybe like you're failing if you're not achieving goals of reducing weight, if that's what you're setting. So number one is to, again, talk, like we said, talk about what you can eat, and that is going to be much better for your mood. But then it's also about what food we eat that physiologically affects your mood. So you've got about, do you guys know how many kilos of gut bacteria do you think you have in your gut?
I feel like we should know this, but I have no clue.
Yeah, we definitely should. Just take a guess. I'm going to say, go out on a limb, 300 grams.
Oh, I reckon okay. 2 kilo.
Go on, Alex. Yeah.
2 kilo?
Yes, it is.
Oh, wow.
It's about 2 kilos of bacteria in your gut. So that's a lot of little bacteria that you need to feed. So the food you eat, the fibrous types of food in particular, they're looking surprised if you could just see through a podcast. if you've got to feed them. So the food you choose, if mostly plant-based foods of fruits, vegetables, grains, cereals, they feed your gut bacteria. They produce fatty acids, which are really important for the health of your gut, but they also cross through the barrier into your blood and go around your body. So that means that they also go and influence your brain and they influence your hormones produced. So that indirectly affects your mood. So feed your good gut bacteria. They produce the helpful gases, go into your bloodstream, go around the body, and that actually physiologically affects your mood. So many ways that food affects our mood.
That's actually incredible, just like the physiology behind that. Because personally, I know like when it comes to study time and exams are up, I'm eating horrible food. I'm eating blocks of chocolates. I'm eating ham, cheese, toasties, like breakfast, lunch and dinner, because that's what I want to eat and it's quick. But then normally apart from that, I'm eating like good food. I'm eating whole foods, good proteins, good fruit, veg, good carbohydrates. So how can I try and curb that aspect of when it does come to exam time so that I don't eat those bad foods so I can stay in a better mood with like the patho of the gut and all that?
Absolutely. And because you are quite right, when you don't have a lot of time, you just quickly go to what you think is fast. But it's about changing that mindset about what can be quick but nutritious foods. So when you said you were grabbing, say, a block of chocolate, you've got to pre-plan your shopping. So buy yourself some chocolate. No foods are bad. It's just about how much we eat of them. So you might decide, Brayden, that you're going to buy some chocolate, but the other quick things are that you're going to have on your shopping list that you're going to buy a packet of almonds or cashews or pistachios or whatever nuts you might like. You might grab some dried fruit. You might have cheese, so you can have cheese and crackers. Or the thing I think is better for snacks is go for mini meals. And so I talk about this in my book, is mini meals. So when you are hungry, go and warm up a bowl of soup to have as your snack. Or get a corn cob and put that in the microwave. It's only going to take 1 minute to cook in the microwave, fresh or frozen. You might be having cheese and bickies. Or in that toasted sandwich you're having, why not actually add some avocado or mushroom or spinach or tomato? It doesn't take that much longer. And I know when I work with the footy players, they love toasties. And I would walk into the kitchen and they'd see me coming and I'd say, what veggies have you got in that toasted sandwich? More than just ham and cheese, guys. Come on, think outside the box. It doesn't take much longer. Cut up 2 tomatoes and have them in a container in the fridge. So when you're making that toastie, it's not hard to put in. And always think, in my snack, have I got some plant food? So that's just one thing to remember. So if I've got the chocolate, have I got my strawberries or my blueberry punnet or my nuts to go with it? Do you reckon you could manage that?
I think that's such an easy change, just to adding those extra things to it, because not only are you adding in those like the veggies, adding in the fruits, adding in the good fiber, but you're also going to cut back on the chocolate or cut back on the grilled cheese because other things are bulking it up. So I definitely think that's such an easy way to be able to do it.
I love that too, because I know that like, it doesn't take much, but it's hard when you don't do it. Like in my fridge, there'll be like a watermelon, there'll be a rock melon. And if we don't cut it up, it doesn't get eaten. But as soon as it's cut up and you're looking for that snack, we'll just go and get that out of the fridge rather than wanting to go get that block of chocolate or wanting to get something else. So it's that tiny bit of preparation. But it does make a big difference. It's changing that environment.
And I think if you're living with other people, it can often be spreading the load on that preparation. So one morning it might be your turn to cut up the fruit in a platter ready for everyone to graze on during the day. And the next day it's somebody else's job. And with people with families, it's always a good one to get younger kids to do, is to wash the strawberries and put them on, you know, decorate them nicely. Or someone who doesn't have many cooking skills can still be certainly cutting up the fruit or washing it, or think veg. It could be a punnet of cherry tomatoes for your snack, those baby little cucumbers. You can even buy the carrots and celery and those sorts of things already cut up with little hummus to go with them. So it doesn't have to be a lot of workload. It's just write your list a bit and a little bit of planning.
Definitely. Well, it's really important to plan, especially for shift work. So we mentioned that, you know, you can have a 10 to 12 hour shift and it could go longer. And it's really important to be prepared for that, you know, taking your snacks with you. And a lot of the questions we've received from students prior to having this interview with you is about what are some really healthy go-to snacks on those really long shifts, so that you're not going to go through the drive-thru at Macca's at, you know, 2 a.m. or 6 a.m. or something like that.
And that's a hard one. Shift work is really tricky, because especially if you're having to change your day, your times, you're going from day shift to night shift, because it's hard to move your food around and get into new patterns. And sometimes also you're not feeling hungry, because if you change shifts, your body at nighttime is traditionally wanting to sleep and your gut system is usually trying to be at rest. So to try and get you to eat at times you're not used to can be tricky. And then what can happen is you go for long periods without eating and then you're starving. And as you said, Alex, then it's, you know, going through the drive-through or grabbing something. So what I suggest you do is have a think about what your time frame is going to be of when you're getting up and when you're going to be at work, and always try and plan to have either one bigger meal at work or maybe two smaller meals at least. So again, rather than going for snack foods, I'd rather you go for mini meals. And it could be that whatever you've cooked a big meal of the night before or the day before and actually putting that into a container so you can take some to work the next day, or you know that you've got shift work tomorrow and for today you're making a sandwich for lunch, make an extra one and then put some of the salad stuff in a container so it's actually ready to go. You take it to work, you literally tip the salad into the sandwich or into the wrap, or if you're cutting up vegetables for dinner, cut up some extra ones and put them in a container and just grab a dip to go with you. So it's about pre-planning some of those foods at a previous preparation time so you've got extra to take with you to have during shift work the next day.
I think that flows really well onto our next point of just the importance of meal prep. So you've said it before about cutting up some fruit, cutting up some veggies in the fridge just for when it does come to snack on them, does come to add them into like your ham cheese toasties. But then meal prepping for the week, especially on shift work, you know, if you have all those meals set up right at the start, it would then start on a good flow. So could I get you to explain a bit more on just like the importance of how meal prep can affect not only just the student, but also people working shift work?
Yeah, for sure. And look, sometimes people visualize meal prep as that you have to have every meal prepped for the week, and you don't have to do that. And because you could get sick of the same meal. I did a blog and it talks about meal prep not having to take up your whole Sunday. And I think meal prep doesn't have to be the whole meal. What I often do is say I'm cooking rice for dinner, I'll cook double the rice and I'll put some of the rice in the freezer for another time. So it might mean then when I come to cook the stir fry, because I want my stir fry fresh, but I've already got the rice ready. Or I've already got the frozen vegetables in the freezer, so it's only a matter of me cutting up the chicken or the beef, putting that in. I grab the frozen veggies out and the rice is already done. Or it might mean if I'm cooking a pasta sauce that I do divide that up into five meals, but I put them all in the freezer and I only have one this week. Next week I cook another meal and I put some in the freezer, so I've got actually a selection in the freezer rather than the new meal prepping and having to eat the same meal for 5 days, you know, 5 days in a row. But just one other point about that is use some things that make life easier. It's perfectly okay to use frozen veggies. You don't have to use all fresh vegetables. So if I'm wanting corn or peas, I'm not going to be shelling my peas too often. I might buy my mixed vegetables of frozen ones when I haven't got enough fresh left or I can't be bothered cutting them up. Even homemade chips. Yes, I'll make some from scratch, but other times I'll buy the frozen potatoes and make them into it. Jar sauces. So if you want to add some tomato paste or those, it's okay. Or a curry paste in a jar. You don't have to do it all from scratch. canned vegetables, tomatoes, corn, chickpeas, kidney beans. I rarely am going to soak my legumes. So it's absolutely fine to use canned products. They're like a little pressure cooker. You haven't lost all your nutrients. So yes, meal prep, but think about easy ways that meal prepping can be. It doesn't have to be a whole day of cooking.
I love that. I love my frozen veggies. So quick, so easy. And like even those little rice cups too. Get them out, yes. Get that together. Even if you have tuna or whatever, if you haven't prepped, you don't have to prep it. You've just got it in the pantry or in the freezer.
Can I ask you guys a question being students?
Yeah.
Do any of you have those instant noodles?
No.
Do you use instant noodles at all?
No, I'm celiac, so can't even eat them that way.
But it's certainly often a student go-to is get the instant noodles. And what I say is rather than people saying, no, you can't use them, it's chop them in half, get out your frozen veg and add your frozen veg to them, and then get, as you said, Alex, the can of tuna or salmon or a couple of eggs and just cook up the eggs and make it into like a stir, like an omelette or scrambled egg and throw that in, or some leftover chicken. So, again, it's those things that you think are quick, but how can I add some veg very easily to those to make it a little bit more balanced?
Definitely. That's a really good way to put it. And also on, you know, we talk about food and everything, but how important is water and making sure we're hydrated as well?
Yep, as he grabs for the drink bottle. Definitely water. Water is important. It should be our main drink, also for our teeth, because any drink that has anything in it is going to be a bit acidic in general, or it's going to have a little bit of natural sugar in it. So water definitely to keep your mouth moist, which keeps your saliva there, which stops the bacteria in your mouth. So if anyone's got bad breath, it is usually because they're dehydrated and the bacteria have built up in their mouth. So that's number one. Two, your brain needs it. And three, I reckon you guys will be able to answer this question. What percentage of your body is water?
70%.
Yes, good. I thought you might get that one. Fist pumps. So about 70% water. So you are losing water in winter and summer. So evaporation, obviously, through your skin. But I do say don't drink so much water that it interrupts your sleep. So if you're getting up more than once in the night to go to the toilet, you've either got a bladder issue or a continence type issue, or you are drinking too much. So pull it back. It shouldn't interrupt your sleep, and you shouldn't be going to the toilet even in the day every hour. If you are not going for 3 or 4 hours, then you're probably not having enough water. So that's a good way to tell. And if your urine is very dark and if it's smelly, then you're probably not having enough water. Yeah.
Definitely. And that ties nicely into, caffeine, because coffee seems to be our best friend on shift, in the night shift or anything. How much is too much?
So I'm not sure if you know that people do metabolize caffeine at different rates, and it is a genetic thing. So it is based on your genes. Some people are fast metabolizers of caffeine and others are slow. So how much is too much is individual, depending on how quickly you metabolize it. Around 2 to 3 cups a day is probably a safe amount to say for people. If you're not used to caffeine, it will have a greater effect on you and a stimulant effect on to someone who is used to it. But again, think about the timing of it. So if you're getting tired near the end of your shift and you're having your caffeine then and you're expecting to go home and sleep, it's likely to affect your sleep. So think about it, the timing of it, and try not to use it just as a way to always keep you awake. Think about having enough fluid, enough sleep, your soup and other food, because often you're tired when you're dehydrated. So you could be having milk, yogurt, eating fruit, eating lots of salad, which are 80% water anyway, as ways to hydrate you. But caffeine's quite individual. So a couple of cups a day is probably safe, and think about the timing.
Definitely. So how do we approach a night shift? We get we don't really ever get taught about this or anything like that, and there's lots of questions. Would it be better to have a larger meal, say dinner, prior to going on your night shift, say if you start at 7 at night? So if you have your dinner, and then would you have small snacks throughout the night if you need? Or we've had another question, should we have a meal at midnight and do it that way?
Yeah, So would your shift, what would it be, 7 till 7?
Generally, around seven just to a 12 seven. Hour. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it is a tricky one, but in terms of, because you guys are also affected on when you can eat, depending on how busy you are, because you're not going to say to someone, oh, could you just put your heart attack on hold because you know, I'll get to it in a minute. I've got to eat my dinner. So I would be eating a main meal before you go to work, because you don't know exactly when you're going to be able to have your next break. It's not going to necessarily be that set. So if you've started off a bit like going to work in the morning, I generally suggest have a good breakfast so that you're not then going to the cafe to get donuts at, you know, 10 o'clock. So you've had your meal. Never eat too big though, because it will make you feel sluggish. So always till you're 7 out of 10 full, never till you're 10 out of 10. So you're not designed to have a meal that's going to get you through the 12 hours. You're eating a meal that's making you comfortable. Then I suggest you plan to have either another two medium-sized meals, or you have a snack or two and another meal. And thinking about whether you feel you're going to have time to heat it up and eat it, or are you better to have something, even if it is a wrap or a sandwich, that you cut up into three or four bits because you're only getting 10 minutes here and 10 minutes there. But it's better to have the meal that can be broken up into small parts rather than, oh, I'll have some biscuits because they're quick and I'll have some chocolate because it's quick. If it's sushi roll, cut that into three. Or it might be soup in the wrap that you're planning to have, where you'll eat the soup now and the wrap later. Or it could be, I'm having a big bowl of salad with my tuna, but I'll eat half now and I'll eat half later. So I think it's okay to split your meals into two, however it works, but take meal foods. Don't just take snack foods.
That's really good, because I've always struggled doing night shift in terms of what to do. I've tried many different things. So that's a really good way to put it. So
yeah, halve your sandwich, halve your lunch, half sandwich now, half sandwich later is, you know, often a good way to work. Plan out how you think that night shift is going to look in terms of your food rather than just leaving it to chance. So it's like, okay, I think that if my plan is my dinner, you know, my break is going to be here, I'm planning that this is what I'll have and then the next break will be that. But it's okay to change it. So if you're really hungry, I often talk to kids and, you know, they have recess at school and then they have lunch. But often they're hungrier at recess, but they've got in their mind that this is the recess food and that's the lunch food. Swap it around if you want to. If you're really hungry at recess time, then eat your lunch food and then eat your other food later. There's no set goal that says, just because I think I'm going to eat this food at 10:30 that I have to. So listen to what your body is telling you about how hungry you are.
If I was to come down and, you know, have a snack, or we stop at a servo to grab some food, or we stop at a fast food restaurant to grab something to eat, what would be your go-to recommendations whilst out there?
Yeah. So there are some quite good milk is a food. So think of milk as a fluid but also as a food. So even just plain milk is perfect. It's the best sports drink to hydrate you, but it's also got protein and carbs. You can get some lower sugar flavoured milks now as well. And, you know, if they've got a screw top lid, you can have half now and half later. Yogurt, and even if you can get them in that, you know, if you can stop at a supermarket rather than, or one of those, you know, metro-y type, you know, mini supermarkets where you can get the yogurts with the screw top lid, because you don't need to have a spoon then, having it like that. You can get fruit, also pureed fruit in those things. Nuts, because you could have a container that sits in your bag or your locker or whatever you've got of trail mix, which means that you can put a bit in a Ziploc bag or a container and take it out, and then take it out again the next time as well. And you don't have to think about it every time you're at work. You can just leave it at work. So dried fruit's good there as well. A sandwich. So buying a sandwich or a wrap or Vietnamese rice paper rolls if they've got those. A sandwich bar where you can get the rice, the roll made up for you. You know, with the Asian ones often with, you know, the roast pork and the salad. Again, going into that place thinking, I'm going to buy more a meal food in the amount I need. I'm not going to the confectionery part straight away.
Definitely.
Maybe you get the little chocolate to have at the end, but you go for the food part first.
Definitely. Especially coming up to this time of year when we're recording, is coming up to Christmas and things like that. People overthink it, and there's so much chocolate, so many lollies, all the bits and pieces that come along with Christmas, and that can stay around in workplaces and on shift and things like that, and they can be very tempting. I know one of my rules is that I don't eat sweets at work, just to like, because I can still eat it at home, do things like that. I just try and separate it.
And that's really good, because then you're going to think about mindful eating, and it's at a time when you're at home that you can probably sit and really enjoy that food rather than shoving it in and running off somewhere when you're at work and not even thinking about that you've eaten that food. So that's a very good mindful eating practice rather than you making yourself – it's not really that you've made a rule that you're not allowed to eat it. It's I'm going to try and frame that to yourself as that I want to eat these foods when I can sit and enjoy it. That's a good way of looking at it.
I love that, because I love one of the things you say in your book is, you know, thinking about why did you choose what you ate? Was it to fuel or was it for something else? And, you know, sitting there without distractions and just enjoying the food, using all your senses and just taking it all in. We'll go back to studying and keep it on track there, but you wrote a blog about, you know, foods to eat during study time, and you mentioned things around having iron and the importance of it for immune system, that type of stuff. So would you like to talk a little bit about that, and then our students that are listening can go and have a read of your blog as well?
Yeah, so people often forget that study is quite a long journey, and I again bring it back to a bit like an athlete season where you train all year. And you have either the event, might be if you're a marathon runner or it's a netball game or footy game, it's the grand final. And I talk to my kids who are in uni and ones about to go into year 12 that your exam time, you have to be at peak. And often I get to the end of the year and we're nearly collapsed. So we have to fuel ourselves throughout our study so we don't get sick. Because even if you've got a cold at exam time, you're not going to be sick enough to get any exemptions. But you're going to be unwell enough that you're not going to be performing at your best. And you need to be performing at your best during the study time and the exam. So you've got to think, how do I keep my immune system at the best? It's by fueling it. So one, it's eating enough so that your body isn't under stress that you're always under fueling or not eating enough. It's enough protein and spread out over the day so your body can absorb it at its best, because that makes hormones, it makes your white blood cells, your antibodies, all that sort of stuff. And then it's all your antioxidants so that you are much less likely to get sick. So you don't have to remember everything that's got what vitamins and minerals. What you need to do is eat like a rainbow. So it's a range of colours of vegetables and a range of colours of fruit. Two fruit, five veg a day. You might not hit five veg, but if you just think about each meal having some vegetables, at least two fruit in a day, and some fibre. So go back to those gut bacteria. They affect an awful lot of your immune system. So we've got to feed the gut bacteria. So whole grain breads and cereals, legumes and lentils. So, just think about you've got to feed yourself so you don't get sick. Iron, again, it's about making sure that you spread. You don't have to have one massive 500-gram steak. It could be red meat in two or three meals in a week that's a palm of your hand. The darker meat parts of the chicken or your turkey or pork. Fish has got iron, your green leafy vegetables, as long as you put them with something with vitamin C like capsicum or tomato, and your legumes and lentils for iron. Yeah.
That's really great. I've heard that the microbiome being referred to as basically like a big rainforest, and so trying to add as many, you know, feed all those different species and have all of that.
Absolutely.
Trying to be, you know, being fed and all that type of stuff instead of eating just the same mundane things all the time.
That is perfect, perfect. And challenge yourself to see if you can get in a week 30 different plant foods. And I wrote a blog on that too, 30 different plant foods a week.
Well, considering that, what is it, 90% of Australians don't eat even five servings of veggies a day, that could be, that is a challenge, I guess. People don't do it, so it can be a challenge.
Seeds, so it could be, you know, you might eat almonds and walnuts, and you might put some pumpkin seeds, you might have oats. And it also stops us eating the same grain all the time. And obviously if you've got celiac disease, you're not going to have wheat all the time. So you might have a greater variety, but a lot of other people are just wheat. Whereas it's, could I have oats or barley or teff or frika or, you know, different types of rice even, but, there's so many different foods out there, and if you challenge yourself, you'll add greater variety and that adds more nutrients into your diet.
I think that leads perfectly onto our last point. We're probably going to have to sum this up soon, but Before we go, I'd like just to ask one question. What is like your go-to success tips for students to get through their nutrition, through study, through placement, through regardless, just to eat healthy? What would you be like, what would you recommend?
Yeah. Have a few staples that you always have in your pantry to set yourself up for success. And those few staples are probably eggs, because you can do breakfast, lunch, dinner, or snacks with eggs. A good quality whole grain bread, because you can put your eggs on those, or you can do your toasty. And have a pantry where you've got, so I'm trying to think of only about five things. So we've got eggs, some whole grain type bread, can of tomatoes, and some sort of frozen mixed vegetables in the freezer, and then another protein. So it could be tuna or legumes or chicken or whatever, because a few staples that can make either your breakfast, lunch, or dinner. That's what you want to have. So, and I would set aside a time a week where you shop and you just do a little bit of food prep, because if you leave everything to chance, it won't happen. So they're my tips to success. Set a time to shop, a time for a little bit of food prep, even if it's just 1 hour for the week, and a few staples that should always be in your pantry.
That's awesome. We'll definitely be taking that on board.
Yeah, definitely.
So just so that our listeners can find you, well, where can they find you?
So if you do SimoneAustin.com.au, that's my website. So you can find me there and some blogs and find a bit more about me. Instagram, Simone_Austin. Facebook is Simone Austin Dietitian. And my book, Eat Like an Athlete, is available online at most bookstores, sometimes your local library, and in bookstores if you can get to one.
That's awesome. Guys, definitely read the book. We are. that sums it up very nicely. Thank you so much for coming on today. For all of our listeners, you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and you can also email us at the studentparamedicpodcast@gmail.com. So we'll catch you in the next one.